Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are here in the studio, and it is so exciting to see my beautiful sister, Tara.
Yay!
And we are just enjoying this beautiful weather. Thank you, God, for the sun. We have been praying for it and praying for it, and it's finally here. And we are going to be studying from Tara Rise Bible Study, Daybreak.
Yes.
Which you can purchase at
TaraRye.com.
TaraRye.com if you want to get the study. We are actually going to be in the book of Judges studying Gideon. But before all that, I wanted to make a couple announcements, if I can. TaraRye, who is an author, writer, speaker, actually wrote another book, Kids Can Do Missions. And it's exciting to have out. Her daughter is actually in the book. It's based about her daughter, Michaela, which is, she's beautiful. You can actually purchase the book at barnesandnobles.com. And she is really want you, you know, 100%, is it 100% of the proceeds?
That 100% of the royalties on that one goes to the ministry.
Goes to the ministry. And then she also wrote another book, Mandy Mouse at the Lydia House, which 100% of the proceeds goes to the Lydia House Open Door Mission.
Exactly.
And you can get that book at Amazon.com or maybe in the future Barnes and Nobles. So I just wanted to celebrate the exciting news, their births.
Yay,
for Tara Rye, her little babies.
She said, if I may, you know, like somebody over there on the other side of the radio is going to say, no, sorry, you can't. They have no say in the matter.
That's right. You have complete authority. Watch out. That's scary.
She's tired. We got to get her to get some energy in. She just left a kickboxing class.
Oh, my goodness.
She's
praise
sore.
The Lord. I can't wait to get in the Word. The Word will revive me.
Revive us, O Lord.
Yes. So I just wanted to say that because I'm very proud of my sister. She's doing a lot of amazing things for the kingdom, and we need to support each other. So,
and God is a good God.
He is amazing.
A good God.
Good God.
We're gonna hit Judges. Why did I say Joshua? That's funny. It's because I just spent a whole 6 weeks writing on Joshua, Judges,
probably,
and Ruth for Lifeway. But today we're gonna specifically look at Judges, and we're gonna look at Gideon. And I really love this particular section. And then the fun thing about this passage is in the book of Judges, when it is a review of what has happened in Judges, there is over 100 verses given just to Gideon. It's the most of any of the judges in the Old Testament.
Wow.
The closest one to him, it would be Samson, and he has 96 verses dedicated to him. And so Gideon, God really wanted us to catch what was happening in the life of Gideon. And we have to understand there's going to be like a 40-year period of peace that will fall because of Gideon's life.
Mm.
And boy, if I could be the one, if you could be the one to bring about 40 years of peace, wouldn't that be a blessing, you know, to be the one that's the person that brings in peace? And oftentimes, I think what happens, the reason why I so relate to Gideon viewed himself as a weak vessel, and he
humble.
viewed his nation, his tribe in particular, as the weakest.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a fun story. Just to give you, I'm going to story some and tell us the story to get us going, and then we'll go in and we'll dive in and start looking at the lesson. And what we have to understand is this chapter 6 begins with that in the eyes of God, Israel did evil again. And it seems to be it's a spiral sin habit, and we'll go into that in a minute. But you need to understand that Israel has made the choice to walk away from God. Now, according to Judges 6 and 7, this is what happens. The Midianites begin to oppress the Israelites in such a profound way. But what they do is they're waiting until harvest time when the crops are just ready to be eaten. And the Midianites would come in and they would maraud the land, literally overtake the land, and they would leave nothing behind as far as the harvest, nothing. There would be nothing available for the cattle even. And the only way the Israelites could handle what was happening is they would run and they would go hide in the mountains in the clefts of the rocks while the Midianites and the Amorites and the Amalekites would come through and destroy the place of where they were living. And it so impoverished the nation that the nation finally came to a place where they humbled themselves before God and they cried out to God and they said, Lord, help, help.
Yes.
And God heard their cry, and he sent a prophet. And the prophet called out to the nation of Israel and said to them, this is what the Lord our God says. He says, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship other gods of the Amorites, but you did not listen to me. You're not listening. He told them what to do, and they didn't listen. And so the people were not available to hear what God had to say, and that is why he allowed them to be under what happened with Midian. Right. Well, so happens that after the prophet spoke, the angel of the Lord appeared at the Orpah tree. And it's the place where Gideon was actually at the threshing floor. Now, this is not the place to be. He was in a wine vat doing his threshing. He wasn't on the threshing floor. He was on the wine vat. He was in a wine vat threshing his wheat. He was hiding from the Midianites.
Right.
And the Lord says to him, greetings, mighty warrior. Yeah. And he goes, mighty warrior, what do you mean? He goes, I am weak, and my tribe is of the weakest. And he goes, and he says, if you are the Lord, and he says, where are all the wonders? Didn't you bring up out of Egypt? And our parents told us about so much. And you, oh God, have abandoned us. And the Lord looks at him, and instead of condemning him for what he says, the Lord says, go and the strength you have.
I love that.
You know, here he's whining and complaining and telling God, you know, you. And God says, go in the strength you have. You save Israel. Am I not sending you? And Gideon is listening as he says this. And he's, but how can I? How can I save Israel? My clan's the weakest, and Midianites will strike us down. And if I have, Lord, if I have favor in your eyes, then give me a sign that it's really you I'm talking to. I want you to wait, and I'm going to bring you an offering. And so the Lord sits, and he waits, and Gideon runs off, and he gets his little stuff, and he prepares it, and he prepares an offering of a goat and bread and broth and an ephah of flour, and he prepares it on the rock. And as he prepares it before the Lord reaches out with his staff. He touches the meat. A fire occurs, it consumes it, and just as it's consumed, the angel disappeared. And at that moment, Gideon realized, I have seen the Lord. And he cries out, oh, I have seen the Lord face to face. And then he hears the voice of God say, do not be afraid, and you will not die. You know, and that's really important, because they know that if you see God face to face, you die. And Gideon, he says, I want you to do something for me. I'm calling you out, and you're to go, and you're to build an altar. And I want you to tear down the altar that has been built and your dad's Baal altar and the Asherah pole within your city. I want you to break them down. And I want you to build a new altar, and I want you to make an offering up to me and to build a proper altar. Okay? And so he says, all right. And he waits till nighttime, and he gets 10 of his buddies together, and they sneak into town, and they tear down the Baal pole, and they break up the Asherah pole, they build the new altar, and they sacrifice a bull on the altar before God. Well, the next morning, when the men woke up in town, they walk in and they say, who did this? Mm-hmm. Who broke up our altar? Who destroyed Baal? And they began to talk amongst themselves. Well, hello, when you got 10 people with you, it's kind of hard to keep secret. And eventually the word comes out, and they say, it's Gideon, Joash's son. And so they run to Joash, and they say, Joash, bring us your son, because he has torn down Baal and the Asherah poles, and we're going to kill him. And Joash kind of looks at them, and he says, let Baal contend for Baal.
Ooh.
And the people look at him, and he's right, because it is a idol made out of man's hands, and he can fight for himself if he is a real God. And so at that point, they call Gideon. They say, Jerubbaal, and that's the new name that they give to Gideon, which means let Baal contend with him. And so Gideon ends up breaking free and not getting anything happen to him. And at this point, he realizes that he is about to go into battle, and he wants to make sure that he's done what he's supposed to do. He calls out to all the clans of the very men that had come to kill him.
Right.
And they come and they are ready to do battle with Gideon. But before he goes to battle, he says, Lord, if it's really you that's going to save Israel, could you just do me this one favor? Please don't be mad at me, God. But if I put this fleece out mm-hmm. here on this ground and I leave it there, would you put the dew only on the fleece and leave the ground dry? And he wakes up the next morning and it happens. And he's like, okay, God, you know, let me just make sure that I've got this right. Could you do it even more miraculously? Could you let all the ground be dry and let the fleece be wet? And did I say those in the right order? Did I say those in the right order?
He squeezed.
Yeah. Okay. And so he gets the fleece out, and guess what? God did it, and he wrings it out, mm-hmm. and he gets a bowl full of liquid. And so he gets all the dew, and God did exactly as he asked. And then the next morning, as they were camping, they were getting ready to go, God says to him, you have too many. Because at this point, you have 30,000 men. I want it to be known that I am the one who will win this battle. You look at those men and you say, anyone who is afraid, send him home. And at that point, 20,000 men walked away. So he had 10,000 men standing beside him. And God says, that's not enough. I need fewer. You know what, Gideon, what I want you to do is I want you to take them down to the river, let them get a drink. All of the men who drink like dogs, they're the ones I want you to keep. They get down on their hands and knees and lap with their water. They go down. 9,700 men drank normal. Only 300 lapped like a dog. And that's the 300 God said, I want them. They're the ones that's going to go to battle with you. And so Gideon sent the 9,700 home. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now they're getting ready to go to battle. And as if that's not enough and all that God has done, Gideon's still wondering, you know, is God with us? So God comes to him and he says, in case you are wondering, in case you're afraid, tell you what, why don't you get one of your servants to go down with you to where Midian is? And I want you to hear what they have to say, because what you're going to hear is going to encourage you and make you strong and able to do what I've called you to do. So he looks at Pura, and I'm saying his name wrong, and he says, come on. So they sneak down at night, and they get down in the camp, and just as they get down there, nobody knows they're there. He hears in a tent a man saying to one of his other soldier mates, I had a dream, and I dreamt that this great big barley loaf was rolling down the hill, and it wiped out our entire army. And Gideon and the guy, and they're hearing, and then the guy sitting next to him, he says, it must be Gideon, Joash's son. And when Gideon heard that, he knew the battle was theirs.
Wow.
He went back up to his troops and he says, get up. What I want you to do is I want you to take a torch in your left hand. I want you to take a glass jar in your, a trumpet in your right hand. I'm going to give you a glass jar. And he says, when I give you the word, I want you to cry out for the Lord and for Gideon. And then I want you to blow the trumpets, break the jars, and let your light shine. And so they get up on the top of the hill. They're surrounding the Midianites, completely surrounding them. And he gives the call out, and the men blow their trumpets, and they crash the glass, and the lights shine. And Midian wakes up in the middle of the night to all this, and they begin to slash and fight, and they kill the entire force. And a few escape, and they go after them, and they end up winning the battle without ever raising a sword. Okay, so this is the story of Gideon we're going to deal with for the next month. Kind of fun. Got some
so
great,
exciting.
Great, miraculous things that have happened within it. And it's an amazing story of how God reveals himself to his people. And it's also a story of the example of how sin in our lives can destroy our heart to see God at work. And one of the things that happens is that when we allow the prevalence of sin within our personhood, our family, our church, our nation, what happens is people become dispirited, okay? And that means that they no longer hear the Spirit of God. They no longer feel attuned to the Spirit of God. In fact, you see that amongst the people, there's really not a whole lot of hope. And I've been in places where I have seen that. I've seen it in prevalent ways. The place that makes me weep the most is in Russia. Mm-hmm. And then there were some villages that I've been in the mountains in Guatemala. And the only way I could describe it is that even the dogs were depressed. Because when we allow ourselves to be so focused in on what is consuming us and not focusing on God, it totally destroys the spirit of hope within the body. And so what we're going to find out is that in order for Gideon to be the mighty warrior that God wanted him to be, he had to do something first for God, and that was to destroy that which they were worshiping that was not of God. And that first thing that God said to him, he says, "You are a mighty warrior. Get up and go in the strength you have, but first destroy Baal and Ashtoreth." Baal was the representative of the male god figure in the Midianite nation. The Ashtoreth was a representative of the female god that they worshipped. And so he had to go and destroy the idols of man-made gods before he could get the people to see and hear from the spirit of God in order to fight the battle. Now, we are almost at the end of this segment. I cannot believe the story went and kept us from hearing. And so you've got to come back and listen, because next week we're going to encounter some of the things that happens when we make the change and remove ourselves from the sin that can consume us. And then what we're going to do is we're going to look and see what happens when we give a sincere cry to God. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at the blessings and the honor and the strength and the courage and the hope that can come to us when we truly allow ourselves to cry out to God. So you need to come back so that you can get the full measure of what's going to happen with Gideon and his troop. And the remembrance that Gideon and his people needed to remember was that it was God who won the battle, and not Gideon and not his strength. And that's what we're going to find out. We thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. We hope you come back next week to listen and hear how Gideon moves from a weak-spirited man to go in the strength that he has to fight the battles before him.